The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Star Wars 7x7, episode 3563. All right, we're going to start digging in. So today we are going to do our 7 takeaway breakdown episode related to Identity Crisis, which is episode 10 from season 3 of The Bad Batch. Punch it. Hey, Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you so much to the patrons who make this show possible every day with their support at patreon.com/SW7X7. All right, so we're going to talk about Identity Crisis, which is episode 10 of season 3 of The Bad Batch. It's the first of the three-quarter double header that we got on Wednesday, and we're going to start our situation, as we always do, with a high-level overview of the episode. So we get to see what happens when a Class 1 bounty hunter is searching for an M-count target. And, of course, it would be Cad Bane, that absolute rascal. Yeah, and he doesn't care. He's perfectly fine kidnapping infants who are seemingly demonstrating some kind of force ability. And he has one of the fancy things to test the blood of someone for an M count that Asajj Ventress didn't have in the earlier episodes. So yeah, Asajj needs to get herself one of those. And we find out that there was a little bit of sleight of hand done earlier in the season for the Bad Batch. So when Palpatine showed up on Tantus and Dr. Royce Hemlock took him into the vault, it looked like the red pods that were there, that had to do with Project Necromancer, and maybe it does some level. And he showed Palpatine what was in one of the pods. And yeah, that seemed like where they were keeping Force-sensitive people. But no, that's not actually the case. We find out in this episode that that's where they're keeping these CX troopers that they're working on, which are not ready to be fully deployed just yet. But where they are keeping M-count people is in a separate little prison facility, and it turns out that yes, it is children. It is as bad as you thought it was. They have kidnapped children. They are kidnapping children and infants and bringing them to this little prison, taking blood from them on a daily basis and using it to test ways of replicating that M count in clone blood. For a second takeaway, really the thrust of this episode is about Emery Carr and putting her in a position to rebel against Dr. Royce Hemlock. It wasn't enough to crack her with Omega being in jeopardy, but it is enough to crack her now that she sees that the Empire is kidnapping children, holding them against their will, and is willing to kidnap infants even and hold them against their will for these experiments. For a third takeaway, let's talk about Nala Say, who has been pretty enigmatic, and in the confrontation that she has with Emery, she doesn't really seem to be bothered by the fact that she has done nothing to help these kids that are in captivity. It's clear that the kids are aware of Nala Say, like one of them talked to Emery Carr about Nala Say. And apparently, for as long as experiments were going on, Nala Say was able to string the kids along about finding out when they would go home, whereas it didn't last very long at all with Emery Carr before kids saw right through her and said, "You're a liar." So on the one hand, sure, Nala Say was acting to protect Omega, but she wasn't exactly doing anything to help these kids either. So yeah, and she's always been kind of a morally compromised, interesting character in that regard. For a fourth takeaway, I'll say that I feel like Hemlock was a little bit too easily convinced to let Emery Carr start running the show. And yeah, sure, the stalling of the experimental progress might factor into things to some degree, and maybe he was already thinking about it. So yeah, there are things you could come up with, but I feel like I would have wished that scene had come after another scene that happened with Royce Hemlock and Governor Tarkin. And this is a great scene. So this will be our fifth takeaway about Hemlock and Tarkin, because not only are we getting to see two top tier villains kind of jawing at each other and the whole like, yeah, it's classified, I can't tell you, and no, just give me the money, I just need the money, I don't need your help, thank you. Like, I felt like it was on the level of Tarkin and Krennic and Rogue One in a way, except that I feel like Hemlock is more formidable of a villain necessarily than Krennic was. And as I said in yesterday's episode, we're basically setting Hemlock up for a fall with this, because with Tarkin threatening him and saying like, yeah, you all this money you're requisitioning, like you better get the results that you're saying that you're going to get, or you're going to lose your facility and you're going to be in trouble too. So this is definitely not an idle threat. Tarkin is going to see to the end of Hemlock if things don't go Hemlock's way. And yeah, they're not gonna. For a sixth takeaway, good grief, that CX-2 trooper is ridiculous. How the heck did that guy survive? I mean, I guess maybe that's what they're being bred for, and maybe that's why Hemlock is actively monitoring the vital signs of all the other ones. I guess there are a bunch more in those pods that he has cooking up, but they're not ready to go yet. And he's able to kind of goad CX-2 by saying, yeah, you know, you failed the first time, why should I trust you now? You know, how he doesn't get away with that, you know, I wonder if the CX trooper is going to show up at Tantus and just punch him in the face because he can. I mean, I know that's not going to happen, but still, like, it just seems so reckless and dangerous, and yet also so egomaniacal of Hemlock to treat that guy this way. And yet, you know, he's going to end up doing something crazy ridiculous and pulling off the mission that he's been after. And for a seventh and final takeaway, we'll talk about just a couple of fun fact things. In this particular case, voice actors that got involved in this episode. So Seth Green is back and he is playing Cad Bane's droid again. So it was fun to see that he definitely got in on the whole Bad Batch action once again. And also, one of the stormtroopers and one of the villagers on the planet where that infant was snatched from was voiced by Steve Blum, who is, of course, the voice of Zeb in Star Wars Rebels and then in The Mandalorian as well. So yeah, that was great fun to see his name show up in the credits too. Now, we've set up the first half of our three-quarter doubleheader with Identity Crisis, and we'll talk about Point of No Return in short order. But for now, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you enjoy this daily dose of Star Wars joy, please consider leaving a rating or review if you haven't done it already, or hitting a subscribe, a like, a join, a follow button to make sure that this daily dose of Star Wars joy is served up to you, that you never miss an episode you don't want to miss. And tell some friends, tell 1, 2, 5, 10 friends that this show is there and out there for them. Not everybody knows. It's kind of funny when I, you know, talk to some people and, you know, I feel like, you know, we've been around for 10 years. I feel like, you know, a lot of people should have known and just dismissed us if they didn't want to listen to us. But, you know, the number of people I come across that I haven't heard about the show is kind of surprising. So please do tell anyone that you know that might be interested. It would be a wonderful thing. And if you want to support the show at an even greater level, you can do that too. That's at patreon.com/SW7X7. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me. As always, and may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.